Open your Bibles with me, please, to the book of Luke, chapter 4. Now, there's something that I want to show you before we even begin concerning the gospel. Yes, sir. I'll go ahead and do it right now. Hold your place there, but turn over to the book of Galatians and look in the third chapter of the book of Galatians. There is a profound statement here. In fact, it is the gospel. It's the gospel of the whole Bible. I went through and underlined and read everywhere it said gospel and wrote this scripture out beside it. Verse 8, chapter 3, Galatians. The scripture, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Your Bible is God speaking to you, right? The scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, the scripture, God preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. Oh, my brother and sister, that's the gospel. That's the gospel.
Yes, it is.
The curse is gone. Been killed by the power of the living God and the resurrected Lord Jesus. Now then, let's go back over to Luke 4. Say the gospel.
The gospel.
The blessing of the Lord.
The blessing
of the Lord. So, Luke 4:18, as soon as I get back over there. Verse 16. Jesus came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, as his custom was. He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. There was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. When he had opened the book, now notice, he opened it at a specific scripture, what you and I know as the 61st chapter of the book of Isaiah. He found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Whoa. Now we know what he was preaching, and we know why it went so crosswise with the religious leaders of the day. Now, I want to point out something to you. These were not bad people. These people are serving God, particularly the Pharisees. I mean, they really had it right. They believed in the resurrection. The Sadducees didn't, but they believed in the resurrection. They're not bad people. But this thing just went, just sawed crosswise of what they preached. They preached the curse. That's all they knew. Are you listening? Jesus came in preaching the gospel. He's preaching the blessing of Abraham. They're preaching the curse of the law. He's preaching the blessing of Abraham. And it upset everybody and everything except for the people. They heard it and just went wild over it. Thank you, Jesus. So now, keep that in mind as we flow along with this. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted. He hath sent me to preach deliverance to the captives. He has sent me to preach recovering of sight to the blind. He has sent me to preach and set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord, which is the great jubilee, which is supernatural debt cancellation. Now, back there at the very beginning of this ministry, when Gloria and I saw Romans 13:8, owe no man anything but the loving. That wasn't even talking about money. I didn't know it at the time. You can't build a revelation and a doctrine on one verse of scripture. But boy, that got my attention and got Gloria's attention. We didn't understand that then. And we had to come back home. We were there in Tulsa, and I was a student there at ORU. And we had come home to preach there in our home church there at Grace Temple. And I'm just studying just reading the Bible for my evening service. And I'm walking around and just had my Bible in my hand and read down through there, oh, no man, anything. What? Oh, I'll get the Amplified. It said, stay out of debt. My feathers fell. There went my airplane. Just right out the door. I said, Gloria! She came in there. I'm still standing there in the middle of the bedroom in my dad's house. What had been my bedroom when I lived at home. I'm just still standing there. I got my finger on there. I said, look at this. And her face fell. There went her house. I said, what are we going to do? She put her finger on that verse. She said, she looked at me with fire in her eyes. If that's what the book says, that's what we're going to do. I said, yes, ma'am. Here we go. Didn't have a clue. Amen? Now, here's what we learned. If you go into the curse of the law, you'll find debt under the curse. And when we got a hold of that, man, I thought, glory to God. So now I have a solid foundation on which to stand. Because I got more than one witness, two or three witnesses. And it's established then in our lives. And we found out that the curse is threefold. Spiritual death, poverty, which would include debt. When you understand literally what it's saying here. You will lend to many and borrow from none in the blessing. You will be the head and not the tail. Amen. But under the curse, it's just reversed. You will be the tail and not the head. Amen. So the blessing is threefold. Number one, eternal life. Number two, healing and deliverance. And number three, prosperity and a debt-free life. And according to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, your heavenly Father and your and my Savior, our high priest, the receiver of our tithe, our Melchizedek, does not want any born again human being in debt and obligated to anybody but him. Whoa, hallelujah. And he then is responsible and has provided it for the receiver. And it lays right in there what Jerry's talking about this morning. It's in seed time and harvest. And it's the way you measure it. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And I questioned the Lord. This didn't make sense to me. I said, doctors are wonderful, and you're all for medical science. I mean, God invented that. People didn't. Amen. I said, well, why is it so out of line to go to a banker? Man like that, he answered me. He said, Kenneth, you don't have to enter covenant when you go to a doctor. But you have to bow your knee to somebody. Now, and it didn't look all that bad back in the days of the small banks and like Mr. McCandless, who's president of the State Bank of East Fort Worth, and my dad banked there, wonderful Christian man, and it was really good to me. But those days are gone for the most part. The big conglomerate banks are in position now. And you don't know. See, when you enter into covenant with somebody, when you enter covenant with somebody, I'm talking about in the spirit. I don't care who they are. And you've entered into that covenant in order to receive something from them, receive money. Now, spiritually, you have joined yourself not only to that person, but to the spirits in his life. I know of a situation. I know of it personally. A pastor of a large church owed money to the mafia. And they were about to break his legs because the church couldn't pay it. Well, there's no way that church is going to prosper financially. You've connected yourself to something. And they were coming after him. And if it hadn't been for a very close friend, they would have hurt him really bad. It sure got quiet in this church house. But God delivered him. God delivered him. Hallelujah. And when he went home to be with the Lord, glory to God, he was in good shape spiritually. Amen. Now then, I wanted you to see that because of understanding the laws of the Spirit. This thing is bigger spiritually than it can possibly be naturally. And everything we do or say, everything any human being does or says has spiritual complications. It has spiritual results.
Amen.
Nobody is sovereign unto himself or herself. Amen. Can't be. There's not God and the devil and then you. It don't work like that. You have never in your existence had an original thought. No. That thought has been thought 16,290,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000, No. No. Amen. All right. Different stages of responsibility are involved also. Well, that's not my message, but the Lord plugged that in there, and it's very important. Now, let's go back where we were. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all of them that were in the synagogue, wait a minute, yeah, thank you, Lord, I need to mention this to you. Don't get under condemnation because you got debt. Laugh at it. Ha ha ha, you're gone. Don't begin to confess, oh, I thank God I'm on my way to being debt free. No. You're not on your way to being debt free. By faith, you're debt free now. And you start confessing that. Get up in the morning. Glory to God, it's good to be debt free. Oh, I remember what it was like. You had people hounding me for money. No more. No more. Hallelujah. I'm redeemed from the curse of debt in the name of Jesus. And I'll never be in debt again hereafter forever in my life, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. He closed the book, gave it again to the minister, and sat down. The eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say, now this simply means he preached a message on this scripture. Now we can prove by the Bible that he took this text and preached it everywhere he went. And we'll see that later on. Now, it's just simple as this. It's same today. If you believed what he said, if you believed that he's anointed, then the anointing would flow. If you didn't, you didn't get anything. And he's proven this right here where he's preaching there in Nazareth. This is going to be proved out. Right here. Now watch this. He preached this message. All bear him witness and wondered at the gracious word. He's preaching the blessing. He's preaching the grace of God. God loves you, and I love you, and he's here to heal you and deliver you. Open your Bibles with me, please, to the book of Luke, chapter 4. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted. He hath sent me to preach deliverance to the captives. He hath sent me to preach recovering of sight to the blind. He hath sent me to preach and set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. He closed the book, gave it again to the minister, and sat down. The eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say, now this simply means he preached a message on this scripture. Now we can prove by the Bible that he took this text and preached it everywhere he went. And we'll see that later on. Now, it's just simple as this. It's same today. If you believed what he said, if you believed that he's anointed, then the anointing would flow. If you didn't, you didn't get anything. And he's proven this right here where he's preaching there in Nazareth. This is going to be proved out. Right here. Now watch this. He preached this message. All bear him witness and wondered at the gracious word. He's preaching the blessing. He's preaching the grace of God. God loves you, and I love you. And he's here to heal you and deliver you. And they're saying, what is he talking about? He was raised right here. That proceeded out of his mouth, and they said, is this not Joseph's son? No, it wasn't. And he said unto them, you will surely say unto me this proverb, physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, which was Jesus' headquarters now, and his home, where he lived, do also here in your country. And he said, verily I say unto you, no prophet. He called himself a prophet there, which he ministered most of the time. Most of the time, you hear me now? He preached most of the time as a teacher. Taught, preached, and healed. Matthew 9. Now, so here he's talking about himself being a prophet. No prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elijah sent, save unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. Many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha, the prophet. None of them was cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian. And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath, rose up and thrust him out of the city, and led him under the brow of the hill whereupon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. But he, passing through the midst of them, went his way and came down to Capernaum. Passing through the midst of them, he went home. He lived in Capernaum, had a home there, a large home. Now, look in the 6th chapter of Mark. Account of the same thing, except Mark gives us insight . Praise God. Verse 4, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country and among his own kin in his own house. He could there, and say wouldn't, said he couldn't. He could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. Now, what is the cure for unbelief? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And he went round about the villages teaching. Now, let's go over to Acts chapter 10, and we'll see this again And we'll see here that he preached this everywhere he went. This is, you know the story that Peter was on the housetop and he saw the sheet let down and so forth and wound up at Cornelius's house. And so... in verse 34, Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. Now notice this, the word, what word? How God, what? The message Jesus preached. what he preached. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he's anointed me to preach the gospel. That word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. Well, what was he preaching? How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Now, Jesus didn't heal everybody. We know that. We already read that. But he did heal. There were cases and instances where the scripture said he healed them all. He healed all that need healing in one case. He healed all that touched him in his garment in other cases. But he did heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. There was not one sickness or disease in existence that he didn't heal. Man, he ripped it to the devil, didn't he? Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah to his name. Thank you, Lord Jesus. The anointing. Say the anointing.
The anointing.
Praise God. Say it again. The anointing.
The anointing.
Now let's go to the book of Isaiah chapter 10. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Verse 27. It shall come to pass in that day that the devil's burden. Let's back up here. Verse 24. Therefore saith the Lord God of hosts. Now, do you hear me here? Verily, 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 I say unto thee. That's three verilies. Every time you see the Lord of hosts, underline it in red. Who is the Lord of hosts? Jesus. What host is he talking about? The angels. In the little book of Malachi, the Lord of hosts, in that little book, talking about the tithe, it uses the phrase the Lord of hosts 21 times. 21 times. The angels are involved in the blessing of your and my tithe. You needed to do a better job of amen right there.
Amen.
David said to Goliath, I come at you in the name of the Lord God of hosts. I'll tell you another, I told you last night, when you're preaching and you hear something, you can prove it by the scripture. I had the Lord say this to me, just dropped it in me. He said, when he killed the lion and killed the bear with his bare hands, he had Samson on his mind. He was believing for that anointing. O my people, the dwellers in Zion, be not afraid of the Assyrian. He shall smite thee with a rod, shall lift up his staff against thee after the manner of Egypt. And yet a very little while, and the indignation shall cease, and mine anger in their destruction, and the Lord of hosts shall stir, who? The Lord of hosts shall stir up a scourge for him according to the slaughter of Midian and the rock of Oreb, and as his rod was upon the sea, so shall he lift it up after the manner of Egypt. And it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder and his yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Verse 11, chapter 11, there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and his name is Jesus. A branch shall grow out of his roots, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. We could read this, and the Spirit of the Lord shall anoint him. Glory to God. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear and the reverence of the Lord. Amen. All of those anointings are on and in us right now. Because it's the same Spirit. He was on them. He's in us. Hallelujah. Oh, glory, 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 glory. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Anointing, say anointing.
Anointing.
Praise you, Father. Gloria first heard Brother Keith teach on Genesis 6:3. The days of, this is the only age in the Bible that God said, not 70. That was a curse that came on a disobedient people. God didn't say that. They said it. And God said, what you have said has entered into my ears, and nobody over 20 will get out of this desert alive. You're going to die whether you, don't care if there's anything wrong with you or not. You're not getting out of here. God said 120. Well, Gloria, and I listened to Keith on it, and it captured my attention. So Gloria's teaching healing school, and I'm sitting back behind the curtain, and she's reading that, and she read a footnote out of the classic Amplified from the 90th Psalm. And it made that statement, that it never was God's plan for life. And he said, and actually, if you look it up in other translations and just go back to the Hebrew text there, he said, the normal lifespan shall be 120 years. Well, medical science without the Bible knows that this physical body, if you could keep it well, will live 120 years. They just can't figure out how to get there. Now listen to me. That's in book one, sixth chapter. That's pretty close to the front. That means, now I'm going somewhere with this, where the anointing is concerned. From that scripture on, all the food laws are based on living 120 years. When the scripture says, with long life, I'll satisfy him and show him my salvation. It's not our prerogative to figure out what long life is. We already know 120 years. That's long life according to scripture. Well, and it just kept getting heavier and heavier and heavier on me, and I won't go into all that, but I'll tell you this. He said, Kenneth, that's just as much my word as by my stripes you were healed. Because we're talking about the anointing. The anointing to preach. The anointing to heal. Amen. The prosperity anointing. The anointing of increase. He said, I have anointings from 80 to 90. I have anointings from 90 to 100. And he said, I have anointings from 100 to 110. And he said, I don't have any of them in the earth. Now, let me open your eyes where, now that's kind of arbitrary. But then I'm talking about just a couple of weeks ago, and I'm still praying, looking at this, and here's what he showed me. He said, Kenneth, do you know anybody that's been in the ministry for 90 years? Huh? Okay, figure it out. I've been in the ministry 52 years. I've got 38 more to go. Do the math. Boy, that hit me right between the eyes. It hit me in the heart. Somebody that's been active and strong. I'm not talking about some weak old dried up old man. Moses is my vision man. He climbed Mount Nebo at 120 years old. Glory to God. Now, doesn't that open up your thinking and your mind? Been in the ministry for 90 years. Glory to God. Jerry and me's just still a ripping. Right along with Keith. Glory to God. Like Keith said, we gonna get so old, old people call us old. Anointing, say anointing.
Anointing.
The burden removing.
Burden
yoke destroying.
Destroying.
Power
of the living God.
First Samuel chapter 10. Still talking about the anointing. First Samuel 10, 1 through 6. Then Samuel took a vial of oil and poured it upon his beard, as Saul, and kissed him and said, "Is it not because the Lord hath anointed thee to be captain over his inheritance? When thou art departed from me today, then thou shalt find two men by Rachel's sepulcher in the border of Benjamin at Zelzah. And they will say unto thee, the donkeys which thou went seek are found, and lo, thy father hath left the care of the donkeys and sorroweth for you, saying, what shall I do for my son? Then shalt thou go on forward from there, and thou shalt come to the plain of Tabor, and there shall meet thee three men going up to God to Bethel, one carrying three kids, and another carrying three loaves of bread, and another carrying a bottle of wine. And they shall salute thee, and give thee two loaves of bread, which thou shalt receive of their hands. After that they shall come to the hill of God, where is the garrison of the Philistines. And it shall come to pass, when thou art come here to the city, thou shalt meet a company of prophets coming down from the high place with psaltery and tabret and pipe and harp before them, and they shall prophesy. And the Spirit of the Lord shall come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them, and shall be turned into another man." Now, when it says his yoke shall, that the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing, the Hebrew word translated anointing there is oil. It's translated anointing. It's translated oil. It's translated fat. And one translation says, your neck will become so big, it'll destroy the yoke that's around it. Isn't that powerful? Hey, you know what this is? Good stuff. This is good stuff. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now then, Philippians chapter 1. We read last night from the 16th chapter of the book of Acts what happened in that jail at Philippi. Now, this is extremely important. I checked this out with our dear brother Rick Renner, and an apostle of God to the former Soviet Union. First man to build a new church building in Moscow in centuries, I guess. Then he built a second one. Now, you need to pray for Mr. Putin and thank God for him every day. Every day. The gospel is being preached there. When they dedicated the Good News Church, the first one and the second one, he sent people from his administration over, and they read scripture, and they prayed, and they rejoiced because of the dedication of this new church. Glory to God. He and Denise have great favor there. Amen. Now, glory to God. And the anointing is being preached. The word of faith is being preached throughout Moscow and other former Soviet Union nations. I'll talk to you a little more about that later. But now this, when that happened here at Philippi, you know the story. The jailer got saved. Now check this out with Rick. And there is absolute evidence of it in the historical record. He became the pastor of the church. The prisoners became the first members of this church. This is a convict church. And it grew from there. Hallelujah. Now, this is very important because you're going to see something about the anointing here. Paul and Timothy, servants of Jesus Christ the Anointed, to all the saints in Christ Jesus which were at Philippi with the bishops and deacons. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you always, in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy. Now, joy is in this little book 19 times. And he was in trouble when he wrote it. For your fellowship, exactly the same word in Luke 5:7, translated partners. For your partnership in the gospel, what's the gospel? Redeemed from the curse. Now this opens up vistas of information. You remember when he and Barnabas went to Lystra, and there they preached the gospel, and the man and Paul perceived that the man had faith to be healed. He shouted, "Stand up on your feet," and the man jumped up and walked. What did he preach? What did he preach? The gospel. Now we know exactly what he preached, because we already know what he wrote in Galatians 3. He preached redeemed from the curse. That's the gospel. These, you know, about just little tidbits. Now we know he preached redeemed from the curse. Oh, come on.
Thank you, Father.
And Philip went down to Samaria, and what he preached? Christ. Well, now we know exactly what he preached. He preached how God anointed Jesus Christ with the Holy Ghost and power. Went about healing all that were oppressed of the devil. That's what Peter preached, because that's what they heard Jesus preach. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus the Anointed One. Even as it is meet, or even as it is right, for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart. inasmuch as both in my bonds and most of these men that were hearing this letter read were in jail with him. They were in there that night when that thing shook, and it only quaked in that one spot. The earthquake did not tear the jail down. Earthquakes don't cause your handcuffs to fall off of. Who did that? The Lord of hosts. I can prove it. The angel walked where, now, isn't this amazing? Peter's going to get killed in the morning. And the man was so sound asleep, that angel had to kick him. To wake him up. He really scared, wasn't he? You know why? He didn't care. He's like my spiritual father, Oral Roberts. He called me one day and he said, Kenneth! And he was a little, he was irritated. In fact, he was bordering on being mad to somebody. Back there then, the technology for stents in arteries had just come out, but it had a 20 or less lifespan. And so they wanted to replace it with a permanent one. And he said, and he told me that story. Oh, Lord. And he said, do you know what they told me? I said, no, sir, I don't. He said, Kenneth, they told me, Oral, at your age, just take the medicine and relax. It's dangerous. You don't want to take the risk. What? Oral Roberts not taking a risk? They said, but you might die. He said, yes. And on the other side of that is stunning. And then he just laughed out loud. Yeah, glory to God. He said, they ain't ready to kill me yet. Hallelujah. Well, I just don't understand, Brother Copeland. Somebody that bring healing to all those people, and just he laid hands on 2 million people, and he had to have a stent put in his. I just don't get it. Well, healing is not a reward. You have to believe for it, stand for it. And he's tired. He didn't want to believe for it and stand for it. Put the stand in there. Let's go back to work. Let's get back to business here. It's right for me to think this of you all because I have you in my heart. Inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and the confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers of my grace. You all are partakers of my anointing. We're in this together. Hold your place there and go to the book of Ephesians. Chapter 4. Verse 10. Or 9. Now he that ascended, what is it but that he also descended first in the lower parts of the earth? He that descended, when he went down into hell and paid the price for all, is the same also that ascended far up far above all heavens, that he might fulfill all things. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. For what? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the building up of the body of Christ, till we all come, till we all come in the unity of the faith, not doctrine, the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a mature, full-grown man, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, wait a minute. Christ. Anointing! Christ is the Greek translation of the Hebrew word Messiah. The anointed of God. Oh, this is huge. And it's just been glazed over. People have never seen it much. Till we come to the fullness as a body. We're the body of the anointed. We're carriers of that burden-removing, yoke-destroying power. Hallelujah. I am an individual member of the body of the anointed one and his anointing. Now, oh, there's something huge here. Now watch it. Speaking the truth, henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men, cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. That's just what we were talking about there a few moments ago. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even the anointed one, from whom the whole body fitly joined together, but it's held together by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body through the edifying of itself in love. Every joining. Amen. Every joining. Now, let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. Oral Roberts, my spiritual father. Kenneth Hagin is right there. He fathered the word of faith in glory in me. And God did this purposely as a plan. As we studied under these two spiritual giants, God joined Gloria and me in ministry, friendship, and brotherhood with both of them. That brought both their anointings to bear in this ministry. Are you seeing the concept here? This is the way the anointing works. Let's go back to the book of Philippians. That seventh verse again. Even as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, insomuch as both in my bonds, We read last night from the 16th chapter of the book of Acts what happened in that jail at Philippi. Man, they knew what kind of anointing hit that place that night and shook that place down to the very core of it. And all of their chains fell off and they couldn't move. They couldn't move. They flat couldn't move. Nobody. The glory was in there. I believe if you look at that clearly, you can see the glory was there. And actually, it was so strong that read about the jailer. He called for a light, but there were things he already knew before he called for the light. Yeah. But anyway, here's what's so vitally important. They couldn't move. If they could have, they'd have run like rabbits. They couldn't move. Now, compare that to in the temple, when the cloud came in, they couldn't move. Nobody could move. The priests couldn't do anything because of the glory present. The glory was present in that prison that night. And it was glorious. And it was there. It was so strong. So everybody in that church knew what was on Paul and Silas that night. They experienced it. Now, what's he saying to them? That same anointing that was on me, that same anointing that was on Silas that night, when you, Pastor, were saved, that night you couldn't break and run.
Amen. Amen.
Now, right quick, just look over there at the fourth chapter and I'll prove it again. Verse 14, notwithstanding, you have well done that you did communicate with my affliction. Now, you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent once again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift. I desire fruit that may abound to your account. You have a heavenly account. I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God. Now, wait a minute. Now, hey, come on. He didn't say you're a God. My God. I'm an apostle. You're a pastor. I'm an apostle. You're a bricklayer. I'm an apostle, he's saying. My God shall supply all your need. You're my partner. Your needs will be supplied on an apostle's level, not on the level of a bricklayer. Not on the level of a school teacher. Now, everybody's anointed to do what they're doing. But you can come on up. Jesus preached it. He said, you receive a prophet because he's a prophet. You receive the prophet's reward. This is spiritual law. It's been proven. One can put 1,000 to flight. Two can put 10,000 to flight. Has been proven scientifically. It's called synergy. Spiritual synergy is huge and far greater than just natural synergy. It's been proven that if you have one powerful horse pulling a load and you add the second horse, same size, same energy, now you have the pulling power of three. Scientifically proven, that's synergy. Spiritual synergy, it's huge. Particularly when it's you and Jesus and the Spirit of the living God. It was written concerning David. We won't turn there and look at it, but you can read it later. When they came back, found all their family gone, all their goods gone, and they went on a forced march, and they were tired. I mean, these guys were wore out. They wept till they could weep no more. David inquired of the Lord, said, "Shall I pursue?" And he said, "Go after him, and you'll get it all back." Amen. Well, at the close of that, there were some of them. Now, they were so fatigued, and there was a river here that had to be crossed. They were so fatigued, they couldn't make it across the river. So David said, "You stay here and you stay by the quartermaster. You stay with what we have here. And you guard this." They went on across the river and took care of business. And they came back to divide up the spoil. Now, there were some ungodly men in that troop. And they fought well for David, served him well. They said, no, wait a minute. No. This bunch didn't risk their lives. They just sat over here and did nothing throughout this whole fight. Just give them their families back, but they don't get any spoil. They didn't risk their lives. Listen to what David said. You remember what he said. He said, "It was God that gave us that victory. Amen. We didn't win that. In fact, I'm adding words to his mouth now. We were too tired to fight these people. We've been in a forced march for hours after coming right out of combat before we got here.
That's right. Amen.
If it hadn't been for God, we'd all died here today."
That's right. Amen.
He straightened them out and he said, "We will share the spoil with those that stayed behind as well as those that went forward to fight." And it became an ordinance in Israel from that day forward. Now, what's that saying to you and me? That is saying to you that teach school. That is saying to you that are in business. That's saying to you. You're not out there preaching, but hey, we are. And every reward goes to you. Hey, what's most important? The person that preached or the person that bought his blue suit? Huh? What's the most important? They're equal. One more scripture in Mark, the last chapter. And he said unto them, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs, shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it'll not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. They went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with, now notice that's in them is in italics. It's very important to just mark through that. That's added, of course, most of you know, all of you know probably, by the translators. Well, they added it. We can read it without it and see how it affects that sin. Sometimes it is important. In this case, it's misleading. They went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with and confirming the word. How? With those signs following. Supernatural signs following. He said, you are partakers of my anointing. In the confirmation of the gospel, signs following. You ought to be having signs following in your classroom where you teach. You ought to be having signs following in the store where you work. You ought to be having signs following in Walmarts. You can have church service in Walmart, I know. Glory to God. Absolutely. Absolutely can. Oh, you're going to like this. Glory to God.
The village of Amalanga, nestled in the western highlands of Guatemala, is considered by many to be one of the cleanest and most prosperous cities. In stark historical contrast, earlier years in Amalanga were defined by poverty, fear, violence, alcoholism, and idolatry. In the early 70s, spiritual darkness ruled this region, and those that tried to share the gospel were despised and threatened. But the light of the Word of God and its transforming power could not be stopped.
Our main campus, our international headquarters, is in Quetzaltenango, Guatemala. And it kind of started out of a shoebox, and it grew into a 23-acre Bible school campus.
Teaching people the Word of God is our main focus. When we moved to Guatemala in 1979, we came in with the word of faith. And that was very new concept there. There was definitely darkness. It was only 3% Christian when we arrived on the field. My dad took us to a place called Zunil, which is next to a town called Amalonga. And, he wanted us to see, the different things that were happening there in Guatemala, the worshiping of idols. And there is a mummy there that they dress up. His name is... formal name is San Simon, but they call him Maximon. There were people in there, very reverent, very their heads bowed, children there. You could tell that, they revered this mummy, but it felt very evil.
Amalanga is approximately 20 minutes from our campus. When you go to that town, you would have never thought that town had been the town that people described.
I have been to Amalonga a few times. We used to drive through there to go down to the coast. And in Amalonga, when we first went, there was, everywhere you look, there was people drunk, people just unhappy. And there was such a darkness over Amalonga as we would drive through. And then there was a pastor that got a burden, a pastor, I think there in Amalonga himself, got a burden for Amalonga. And he began to pray. And then he got other people to join with him to pray.
In 1974, a small group of believers came together to fast and pray. And they gathered faithfully to make declarations over the city. The power of God moved through the people, and many were miraculously delivered and healed. As the people responded and turned to the Lord, families were restored, bars were closed, evangelical churches multiplied, and all four jails were shut down as crime diminished. The conversion has continued with over 90% of the population reported to be born-again Christians.
Even the fruit and the vegetables began to grow, because before that time, they were just puny, vegetables and so forth. Although Guatemala is noted for their vegetables and their fruit. But in Amalonga, when that revival happened, the transformation happened, you could see carrots, this long and big around, and cabbage, heads of cabbage. And the fields were just, it's like they came alive because of the word.
As farmers began to seek God for wisdom and diligently work their land, the fields became so fertile that now they yield multiple harvests each year with truckloads of produce exported daily throughout Central America. The town's agricultural productivity has increased 1,000%, and many of the vegetables grown are giant in size and weight, drawing merchants to market and scientists and researchers seeking natural explanations for this increase. Throughout the city, there's an atmosphere of diligence, children and parents working together in the field and marketplace, debt-free trucking and shipping services, and farmers becoming businessmen as they develop farms in nearby communities and help others to get out of debt.
Their lives were being transformed, and they were then preaching the gospel and sharing with their neighbors. You know, the prosperity came on what they were doing. You know, their farms, you know, God blessed their farms. He blessed the work of their hands, their handiwork. And, you know, that was a testimony to be able to show the others, you know, look what God is doing in my life. You know, I gave my heart to Him. I gave my life to Him. He is blessing. And, you know, you could just see it firsthand, you know, what was taking place in their lives. It was just spilling over into what they were doing. The people there, they give God the credit for what's happening. They don't just think it's some scientific thing that's happening. They know and they fully believe that this transformation has happened because of God blessing them and God blessing the works of their hands.
Alma Longa is also called the Miracle City. And many believe that it is one of the most significant examples of true community transformation through evangelism, intercession, spiritual warfare, and the Word of God.
What God did there in Alma Longa, it's just an example of what He wants to do through all of Guatemala. And I see Him doing it. I see Him doing it in a grand way, not just in the growth of the land, but in the growth of the people in the land.
You know, before where they just had despair, they now have hope. And, you know, they can see, well, God has done this in my neighbor's life. I want what He's got because I want God's blessing in my life. And so they learn from their neighbor, and that blessing comes over into their life.
That mummy that you saw there, it was revealed to a pastor during praise and worship that that was the biblical demon Moloch. And he went, he prayed and fasted and prayed, and the anointing came, and he went down there and cast the demon out of that mummy. And it broke it. Yeah. Let's open our Bibles to Luke, the 5th chapter, please. And it came to pass that as the people were pressed upon Him to hear the word of God, He stood by the lake of Gennesaret. That's the Sea of Galilee. And saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets, plural. Are you seeing that now? They're washing their nets. Now, there is an, this has been so misunderstood over the years. And this is going to teach us something tonight in heaven's economics. And this ties right in then as we go into this evening's message, and you'll see it. And He entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now, when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets. They were washing their nets. This is a key thing here. Pay really, really, really careful attention. Simon answering said unto him, Master or Rabbi, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Now, the first thing he did, well, I won't get him, not yet. I'll come in on it later. When they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fish, and their net broke. They beckoned their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them, and they came and filled both ships so that they began to sink. Only one net broke. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees. He couldn't fall down to his feet. He's knee-deep in fish. And he didn't catch a one of them. Depart from me. I am a sinful man. Now listen. He knew better than that. He had seen Jesus just the day before do miracles in his house and heal his wife of a deadly fever. Well, yeah, but he don't know anything about fishing, Don. No, he just created them. That's all. Every fish in the Galilee was up around those boats. All of them. What fish is going to say, no, Jesus, not today. No, all of them. All the fish in the Galilee were there. They could have emptied the lake if they'd had enough nets. And Jesus standing there smiling. He knew what he'd done. And he's laughing at him. Amen. Boy, Peter wasn't laughing. It hurt him. He's a Jew. He knows better. He knows better than to bring a bad sacrifice. A blemished animal. What's the difference in a blemished animal and a blemished old rotten net that's been laying around? You don't want to have to rewash all those nets. That's hard work. Well, we go out there and throw this one around a few times and come back in and say, well, you know, Jesus, that's just the way it is in the daytime on this lake, you know. Now, he was never so disobedient again because Jesus told him to do something absolutely impossible. He came home and he said, boss, they want to know if we're supposed to pay taxes. He said, get your fishing pole. Didn't say a thing in the world about bait. Just a hook. He said, okay. Right down that lake he went, boy. He wasn't missing again. Amen. And Jesus said, this is big now. Take the first fish, not a fish. First fish, get the money out of his mouth. First indicates don't quit fishing just because you got excited about a fish with money in his mouth. Amen. Amen. Fill the boat up again, boy. I mean, hey, there's lunch and supper and whatever else we need. Now, back in the 50s in El Paso, Texas, Brother Hagin was down on the, he'd stepped off the platform and he turned around and jumped up on the platform And just as he did, his foot was about to come down on a brand new tape recorder. He was about to land on this woman's tape recorder, and he dodged and fell and knocked his elbow out of joint and really injured it. And he went to the hospital, and the doctor put it all back. And they kept him in the hospital overnight, just to observe it. And he was just lying there in his hospital room, and no pain. He just lying up there with that thing in a, you know. So, and Aretha had just left, and he heard somebody coming down the hall. Heard their shoes on the hospital floor, you know, hard floor. And the door to his room was open about 6 to 8 inches. And he really, and he said, he, and then he realized that whoever it was coming in his room. And he said he just turned and looked, and the door opened, and there was a man's foot in a Roman sandal, pushed the door open, came in, and he looked up, and it was Jesus in an open vision. I'm next, Lord. Oh, God. He came in, walked over, got the chair that Miss Aretha had been in, scooted it up to the bed, and sat down there and talked to him about the prophet's ministry and talked to him about a number of other things for over an hour and a half. Now, here's one of the, there are two things I wanted to say. Wanted to say to you that Jesus told Brother Hagin in that appearance. He said, if you will call on me when someone is to be operated on, and to have surgery done, call on me. I'll get involved in it. And he said, I will speed up the healing until the doctors will be amazed at it. And then he said this, I am not opposed to my children being rich. I'm opposed to them being covetous. He said, now listen, heaven's economics. If any of my children, and if you will listen to me and do what I tell you to do, I will make you rich. I'll do it, he said. But now listen to that. You have to listen. You have to hear. Hallelujah. Right down to, Lord, what is my offering tonight? What should I be doing in order to be accurate at this? You have to practice it all the time. You have to practice the presence of God all the time. All the time. Talk to the Lord all the time. Someone asked Smith Wigglesworth, said, how long do you pray? Oh, he said, at the most 15, 20 minutes. What? Yeah, but he said, I don't usually go 15, 20 minutes without praying. You know, and there's nothing wrong with taking long periods of time, because there are times when you need to be doing that, particularly when you're seeking the wisdom of God. Now, It's a constant practicing of his presence. Lord, what do you think about that? Yeah, okay. You know, Lord, I've driven to work this same route every day. What about going a different way today? Oh, Brother Copeland, I don't see any use in that. I know it because you can't see much. I don't know any other way. Maybe you better find out another way. Now, when you practice the presence of God on a daily basis and the trade center gets hit, you're going to be the one that hears his voice. Amen. The other people die. Are you listening? Dan Stratton, pastor in New York City, most of his people work in the World Trade Center. And he had been teaching on hearing the voice of God. And teaching 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 and teaching. He just ground on it and ground on it and ground on it. Not one of his people were hurt. Not one of them, not one injury in that whole church. And it's not a small church. And most of his people work in the World Trade Center. They heard the voice of God. Heard the voice of God, man. Isn't that good? Yes. Hallelujah. Heard his voice. Heard that voice. One man was about to walk in the door, and all he heard was, run! And he just took off running and ducked down in the subway, just as a thing. You practice that. You learn it. You walk in it. You listen to it all the time. You're listening all the time. What do I do? What do I do in this offering? Help me, Lord. All the time. All the time. You quit listening to stuff on the radio and you put your CDs in there. Yes. Amen. You ought to listen to one good CD a day. I mean it. Hallelujah. Or just load your phone up. Get the BVOVN app. And you're walking around with those earbuds in your ear, and you know, you got that look on your face, and they think, whoo, I wonder what song they're listening to. Faith coming. Thank you, Lord. Can you see it? This is so big. It's big in healing. It's big in evangelism. It's big in everything. But financially, this is where the problems are. This is where the problem of hearing is. I mean, the whole world's got everybody in the whole world got a different idea of what you're supposed to be doing for them. And 99% of it's wrong. Amen. In sowing and reaping, and everybody does it, 100% of the living human race does it every hour of every day. Words are seeds. Actions are seeds. You can't get out. You can't get away from the laws that govern this planet. It is a word created, word upheld environment. Every human being on this earth lives under that system. Amen. And in that system. And you've got two different kinds of financial system in the earth. You can't change it. You can't get out from under it. But you can change the words by which you live.
Amen.
The devil can't change it. And God won't.
Amen.
The devil's stuck with it. He stuck with it. Jesus said, I only say what I hear my Father say. I don't say anything no more. I only do what I see my Father do. I can do nothing of myself. That's reassuring, isn't it? The sower sows the word. These are they by the wayside where the word is sown. Because Jesus said, it's the Father that dwelleth within me. He does the work. What work? Whatever you've been saying. Huh? Amen. So the sower sows the word. Jesus is right there. He's the high priest of our confession. Now, think about it. The sower sows the word. These are they sown on good ground who hear the word and receive it. Now, what's happening? You hear it and you begin to believe it and you begin to say it. And the Father then is licensed to do the work. Amen. The sower sows the word. Satan comes immediately and says, no. You hear what they've been saying about? No. Now, don't pay no attention here. Why? Because he knows if he can get you or me to hear his word and believe it and begin to say it, now he is licensed to do the work.
Imagine having access to power that breaks down the obstacles and can transform your life. You can live healed, strong, prosperous, and blessed all through the power of God's anointing. Kenneth Copeland's audio series, The Power of the Anointing, will teach you how to break through, walk in victory, and encourage others facing difficult challenges. Learn to live every day in the healing, deliverance, and bondage-crushing power you have already received from God as a believer. Find out what the anointing really is, why Jesus considered it the cornerstone of his message to his church, how to protect and use the anointing, and what every believer without exception has been called to do. You have the power. You are anointed of God. Now, take hold of God's anointing and his burden-removing, yoke-destroying power. Live an overcoming life and walk in victory. Become a winner in life. Request your copy of Kenneth Copeland's teaching, The Power of the Anointing, free from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. God's anointing has everything you need to be successful in every area of your life. Go to kcm.org/TV special or call toll-free 800-600-7395. Offer good for 60 days. Outside the U.S., shipping charges may apply. Contact your regional office for more information.
My name's Noel and this is my wife Samantha. We come from a place called Jimboomba in Queensland. We started off with Kenneth Copeland Ministries over 20 years ago, basically just flicking the channel and all of a sudden seeing this guy preaching away. Mm-hmm. Back then, one of the things that got us first was covenant teaching. It was excellent and opened the doors to really understanding things. And really from there, just kept going on. Learning the faith that Kenneth Copeland teaches, it's an individual thing. It's not me putting Kenneth Copeland up on a pedestal or anything, but Kenneth Copeland has taught me how to have a relationship with Christ. And that's what it's about. It's having that relationship. And for me to understand more, the ministry, Kenneth Copeland Ministries have made me understand a lot more. So then my relationship with God is a lot stronger. Our daughter's just recently been in a car accident, total wreck, but she walked out of it, which was amazing.
When I first saw the car, she'd already been taken away by the ambulance. She actually got hit. She's got a soft top convertible and she was hit in the back by a semi-trailer. who was doing, you know, 60 plus k's an hour, and she was stationary, flung her around. When I saw the car, I shook uncontrollably, and then it's a peace. It was almost like, you know, God's, I've got her, and she's, and the Ambo guys and the fireys that got her out were like, she's okay. We've never seen, this is a miracle. Yeah, she's just walked away from this. And she actually walked out of the car to get into the ambulance. And everyone was saying it was a miracle. And it was a peace really sort of came over. And without that hope that we've learnt from Kenneth Copeland Ministries, I mean, you know, Psalm 91, I think we could almost recite it word for word and pray that constantly with, you know, what we've learnt.
Without having the faith that we've learnt from Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, I don't know how anyone gets by. I really don't.
In the meantime, while she was having this accident, the weeks before we'd had a full body MRI done for her because she has a genetic condition called neurofibromatosis. So she gets little lumps and little tumours all over her body, and we finally saw a neurologist who ordered an MRI. And when we went back to see him, so we sort of had the scans, she had her accident, we went to see him all in the space of 2 weeks. And because he sat us down and said, we've found a brain tumour, a tumour in her brain. And what it had done was blocked the ventricles that send the flow of water around her brain. It was also God's favour on our insurance company that they fully covered the hospital. So she was in hospital for 5 days in intensive care the first day. So you can imagine, I mean, that's just absolutely thousands and thousands of dollars that was completely paid for by our insurance company. And then the surgeon always has a bit of an out-of-pocket. He's given us an $1,800 discount. And then our out-of-pocket expenses was also the difference between our insurance company payout from her car accident, the money we spent to buy her another car, our out-of-pocket expenses for her operation. I mean, it's just, it was phenomenal. It's almost the exact amount that we had to pay the surgeon. So it was like,
everything just was easy.
I think it's what we've also learned is all things work together for the good of those that love God. And even though the accident was certainly not God's intention, it was the way it all came about. And then all of a sudden we end up with this extra $2,500 to pay the surgeon. And we didn't have the money.
Yeah.
And we were like, and that we sort of, it questioned our faith. What do? You stand in faith and believe God to heal? Or do we go ahead with this? Is having the surgery, saying our faith doesn't work, but the way it was all pieced together, and we sought a lot of counsel. We sent away to Kenneth Copeland Ministries, you know, support line for prayer, and then we both come back together and we both had a peace about it. And we went, okay, the surgery's not going against our faith. And the way the money was provided for the surgery, the way the surgery went ahead at the right time, she had a month break from TAFE. It was just, it was phenomenal.
Everything fell into place. So it was a disastrous thing to find out that she's got a tumour. But the way it all fell into place and what had to happen was it's God's favour. You know, there's no other explanation.
Absolutely. And it's been 3 weeks.
Yeah.
You'd never know anything had happened.
So. Yeah, she's out doing things again, so which is awesome, praise God.
Did you notice how Noel and Samantha invested time in the Word of God, and all that time was serving to build and strengthen their faith? And their relationship with Jesus just ended up getting stronger and stronger. And then when their daughter was in the car accident, they stayed in hope and peace ruled in their hearts. And then you saw it, miracle after miracle occurred. And they shared how all that they needed was provided and everything fell right into place. Now you're watching this going, how does this happen for people? It happens for those who have Jesus as the Lord and the Savior of their life, people who have put faith in Him and then live every day with that faith. And if you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, do it today. Today is the day of your salvation. You're saying, well, how do I do it? It's so simple. Just say this prayer out loud after me. Just say, Father in heaven, I come to you in Jesus' name. I believe in my heart. I confess with my mouth that Jesus is my Lord. He lived for me. He died for me. He rose again for me. Jesus, I receive your forgiveness. Wipe away my past. Today, I am a new creation in you, Lord Jesus. Take my life, do something with it, and fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now listen, if you prayed that, you are born again, which means today is the first day of the rest of your life, and the blessing of the Lord is now available to you and operating in you. And you need to find out more about this. You need to find out who you are in Jesus, who Jesus is in you. Find out what the Word of God promises in you. Find out what's in this for you. Amen. Kenneth Copeland Ministries has a free gift they'd like to send you. If you're born again today, we've got a book and two brochures that we want to send you. It's the Salvation Package, this book called He Did It All For You by Kenneth and Gloria. Then there's brochures that just help you learn how to read, how to study your Bible, and it's free. We want to send this to you today, so just request your free Salvation Package at kcm.org and we'll send it to you.
After Denise and I had moved to the Soviet Union in 1991, I came back and stopped in New York City and spoke at a very small church. And I remember thinking, why am I speaking at this small church? I could have impact somewhere else that was larger. Why am I here? But I was there, so I gave it my best, went in, shared my testimony. God had a partner of KCM in that crowd. That's why I was there. And that partner listened to my testimony about what God was doing in the Soviet Union, purchased the tape, and sent it to KCM, and it got into the hands of Mary Niece, who was Gloria's mother. And when Mary listened to it, she called Gloria and said, Gloria, you've got to hear this. So Gloria listened to the tape, and the next thing I know, I received a phone call from Gloria Copeland. She said, this is Gloria Copeland. I need to meet with you and Denise. And that was our first time to come to KCM. And she said, we're going today to become your partner. And she handed us a check and began the partnership of KCM with our ministry. Kenneth was there, Gloria and Denise. And Gloria began to tell us about her dream to broadcast in the Russian language. And she had had that dream for a long time. And that day she said, can you broadcast us in the Soviet Union? And I said, yes, thinking to myself, what am I saying? I'm making such a commitment. It's one thing to do it for yourself, but if you're going to commit for someone else, you really know what you're doing. And I said, yes. We began contracts to broadcast Believer's Voice of Victory all over. And that TV program began to reach people everywhere. It didn't take any time at all before people were quoting Kenneth and Gloria Copeland in every nook and cranny of the Soviet Union. And I can tell you today, they are known everywhere. Now, in America, we have the Word of Faith. If you say the word of faith in the Soviet Union, people don't know that phrase. You know why? Everybody's word of faith. They don't know that there's anything different. The new move of God was born in the word of faith movement, so it never had to be identified. That's all there is. When Kenneth and Gloria began teaching on television in the former Soviet Union, people were sitting in little tiny, broken down, dilapidated apartments with dilapidated televisions. They didn't have much because they had all been raised in a communist system where everyone had exactly the same thing. You were not allowed to have anything better than anyone else. You were not allowed to even dream. And then Kenneth and Gloria come in and begin teaching the Word of God, what we have in Christ, Believer's Voice of Victory, and people begin to think in a new way. And if you can begin to think in a new way, it changes your life. Everyone is thinking different than they did 25 years ago. Kenneth and Gloria's teaching on prosperity has literally revolutionized the thinking of the church in Russia and the former Soviet Union. They were so poverty-minded because they had been the underground church. They had never been allowed to have education. They had never been allowed to have good jobs. They didn't have a lot of possessions. But when they grabbed hold of the message which they heard preached by Kenneth and Gloria, it revolutionized their lives. And today, no one has a problem with believing God. They're all believing God for buildings and cars and the ability to preach the gospel. It is just wonderful what's happened. And I believe it's directly because of KCM. I'm grateful for every partner that supports KCM. They should never underestimate the power of their giving. When people give to KCM, their money is used wisely and it is stretched. I've watched this ministry up close. I've managed their money overseas. I've seen the way they spend money. And this ministry is very careful with their funds. And partners of KCM can rest assured that when they sow money into Kenneth Copeland Ministries, they really are sowing into good soil.
You have a free resource to help you study and apply the Bible-based truths you just heard. Download the BVOV Broadcast Study Notes today at kcm.org/notes. Collect the notes from each week and use them in a group Bible study. Use the message outline to teach from. Discuss the scriptures and key points with your family of believers. Gain understanding from all the teachings on the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. Get the whole week of notes today at kcm.org/notes.
Papa Kenneth and Mama Gloria are on a lot of African stations, and when I first met them, I saw them on TV. I just fell in love with the level of sincerity, integrity. You could just feel that. And I got hooked to them 17 years ago, and we've been partners since then. Definitely we started being prayer partners, and when we moved here to the U.S., we became financial partners, and 3 years ago, almost 4 years, the Lord said, move home. When we heard him say, move home, we started inquiring to know where home was. We knew that it was AMIC. We came out of the foundation class, everyone was positioned, even the children were positioned, and we don't only want to serve, we want to learn. So when one of our children learned from Super Kid, the middle child, Gerson, that there's power in the communion. It's our covenant. It reinforces the covenant. You have to remind yourself, like the Lord said, as you take it, as often as you take it, you remember he's there, not just the dying on the cross, definitely, the fact that he died for our protection and for everything that is in that covenant. So he came home, he told me, he said, Mom, we need to take the communion. And I was like, okay, sound like you have a revelation. And yes, he did, he shared it with us. And from that day to today, we take the communion daily. December 30th, 2017, I left home to go drop our first child, Dalvin. He's in 1440, and he had a drama practice. After the practice, we were just going back home. And before I knew it, there was a car coming with very high speed in our lane, and there was a head-on collision. There was no time to pray. There was no time to think. So you cannot do anything but believe in the help that you need. He promised to be what? Our help in times of need, right? He did. The covenant came through. We were protected. If you look at the car, you would not believe anything came out of the car. I mean, you'd think even the chairs were broken, but everything was intact, which makes us understand that you have to sow your seed before the harvest. We needed a harvest of protection right there. We could not sow no seed of prayer or confession, nothing. So when that happened, I believe the car flipped a couple of times because we found ourselves between a pole and the fence, and we were not straight. We were on the left side. And since our son was on the passenger seat on the front, he's huge, so he could sit there. He tried to touch the door and it wouldn't open. Now, technically, I don't know much about cars, but I believe that when there's that level of collision, the door should just be stiff and tight. He first of all touched the door and it wouldn't open. And he said, Mom, we're safe. He turned and told me, he said, Mom, we're safe. And Miss Royalty was with us in the back. And I said, Royalty, are you okay? She said, yes, Mommy. The second time, as soon as he told me, Mom, we're fine, we're safe, he touched the door. By the time he just put his finger there, it popped open. We had to step on his seat and just walked out of that car. All we could say was, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. It felt like I was out of vocabulary. All I could remember saying was, thank you, Lord. 2 weeks later, I said, Daddy, let's talk. How did that happen? And I could understand that it's an angel that opened the door and left it there so we could, by faith, take an action. So our son, Darwin, had to do was stretch his faith and believe that this thing is going to open, even though I tried it the first time. We have heard about our protection. We believe in our protection. We speak it and we act by taking the communion daily. So we don't only speak the word, we also do the word. And we expect it to come to pass. As a parent, it's very important to expose the children to the covenant. So the covenant is not just for us. The covenant is a legacy we can give to our generation. We see Papa Kenneth, Mama Gloria, we see Pastors George and Terry Preston. We see them leave the faith life before us. But you know, it's a different thing when you have to step on that water. They're like Jesus. They're walking on it, right? But you have to step on the word that you know. So when you partner, it's not only protection. In your partnership is provision. In your partnership is revelation. What they know, you will know.
I think it's really important to just be physically present.
Get in this environment with like-minded believers. It will change your life.
This conference is going to be the best conference you've ever had in your life.
Don't miss the Kenneth Copeland Southwest Believers Convention, July 22nd through the 27th. At the Fort Worth Convention Center. Register today at kcm.org/swbc. And remember,
Jesus is Lord. Come on, amen.
Let's go. My name's David Welsh, and I'm the Executive Director of Kenneth Copeland Ministries, Australia, Asia Pacific. I love what I do. I love the partners. I love my staff. I love the people at Kenneth Copeland. And I love what the message has done in my life. I think that's the... You know, what the Lord's done through the message, through Brother Copeland, has transformed my life, my family's life. Everything about us has changed. And so who wouldn't want to be serving and assigned in that environment? That's, yeah, I just love it. 20 years of bliss. The thing that motivates me is there's still people like me that haven't heard the message that we preach and about the goodness of God and how to operate and use their faith. And so it's easy to get out of bed, because that's what it did for me. You know, at 36 years old, I heard the message and it transformed my life. And so, of course, I want that for everyone, because I know what it'll do in their life. So, yeah, every time we, you know, do anything, send out magazines, you know, pray for people, get the broadcast into people's lives, I know it's going to transform their life. I'm absolutely certain if they give it any attention at all, it will be a transforming moment for the individual and families and extended families too. A lot of people take the Bible as another kind of opinion, but I think when you acknowledge it as truth, which is really a decision, then I think you see the transformative part of the word and putting your faith and appropriating the promises. That's what makes it so critical, the faith message. Because it's faith that pleases God. But the reason it pleases Him is because it's our way of appropriating everything He has promised us, and He wants us to have it. And so that's why it pleases Him, because it does us good. And it's done me good, and it's done my family good. So it transforms. Over 20 years, I think every year there's a new development or revelation on the value of partnership. So it just gets deeper and deeper. And of course, I think our understanding of it changes, but it only changes for those who are committed. You know, if you quit too early, you don't get to go to the next stage. And so for me, it just gets more and more powerful. And really, it's partnership. Yes, we're partnering with a ministry, but really it's a whole lot deeper than that. We're actually partnering with Jesus in our calling to the ministry, and this is where He's called us to. And so I think when you understand that, partnership has a greater value than just, I'm going to send you some money and support your work. It's a calling, and it's a committed calling, because He sent you there for long term. And so I feel I've benefited from that personally within my family, because I think staying connected in partnership, it's more than just an exchange of finances. It's actually an exchange of heart to heart. And so what you value, you sow into, but you also get the same measure back. And I'm sure Jesus said that. Whatever measure you use to here, that's how it'll be measured back to you. So really, we're the ones determining the level of blessing in everything, and including partnership. So what attention and value we put in that is the value He will give back to us in terms of revelations on healing, prosperity, all areas of all the promises of God. are appropriated by the value we give them. You know, sometimes you just need to tap into wisdom, you know, because you've got a situation, you're not sure what to do. Well, being connected in partnership, valuing what you're hearing, receiving, what you're giving into, that's where the answers and the wisdom will come from when you are in a spot. And so I think keeping connected, that partnership connection, is really helping to sustain your life. And you didn't just end up there. God called us to be there because he knew what we would need and what we still need. And so I think partnership's the thing that keeps that constantly living, and the two-way part of partnership just keeps flowing. And so I can see that it's partnership is not just something that someone made up. It's a biblical principle that God put in place. And every year I become more and more convinced of the benefits of that because I experience it in my own life and in my family.
The Word of God has the power to totally transform your life. And you've seen how David shared how that exact thing happened to him. Now, listen, we determine the level of the blessing of the Lord that we're walking in. It's based on your commitment to His Word, your attention to that you give to His Word, to Him, and the value that you place on His Word. Now, today on the broadcast is Offering Day, and I want to read this to you from the book of Galatians, chapter 6. It says in verse 6, "Let him who is taught the word, share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that he will also reap." You know, every time we receive an offering, this is an opportunity for you to put value on the things that you've heard. This is an opportunity for you to go before the Lord and say, "How do I respond to the truth of the word that I've heard through the teaching and the preaching of this ministry?" And then listen. Listen as he leads you. Find out if you've got an assignment to stand alongside Kenneth and Gloria Copeland and preach the gospel, the word of God, to people all over the world. And you say, "Well, how do I do that?" You do it through your partnership. You do it through faith. You do it through prayer, the commitment to stand in faith and pray over this ministry and the outreach of this ministry. And you do it by being faithful to sow financially into it. Find out, like I said, does God have a part for you to play in this? Because your partnership is powerful. When you're a partner with this ministry, you are a part of preaching the gospel all over the world. You're a part of every broadcast. You are a part of every magazine that's sent out. You're a part of every conference, of every service that's preached. You're a part of sending the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ to people from the top of the world to the bottom and all the way around the middle. Father, we receive the giving of the people today. We thank you for it, and we call them blessed. In Jesus' name, amen. Now listen, before we go, I want to remind you that the Southwest Believers Convention is coming up July 22nd through the 27th right here in Fort Worth, Texas. Go to kcm.org for service times, speakers, schedules, and children and youth services. All the information you need about this meeting and all of the outreaches of Kenneth Copeland Ministries are right there at kcm.org. Thanks for joining us today. We'll see you again next time. Until then, remember that God loves you, we love you, and Jesus is Lord.
Kenneth and Gloria Copeland would like to thank you for your faithful support. Now you can text the letters KCM and the amount you'd like to give to 36609.